Good morning, good morning. Turn your Bible with me, please, to 1 Samuel. If you turn your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 1, please. I'm kind of barking a little bit like a seal. And some of that is because I was horking and all stuffed up. So I took some allergy medicine. And right after I took the medicine, down the hatch, Dina came sailing by and she said, "You probably don't want to take your allergy medicine this morning. It'll dry you out." So I think she's right, as usual, but I am just a little dry. And it's very warm up front, and that's probably because there is an abundance of hot air up here. I knew you were thinking it. You knew you were thinking it, whether you were going to say it or not. Let's think about praying this morning, and let's think about one of the great prayers in the Bible, the prayer of Hannah. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah prays. It is remarkable to me in Scripture how many women pray for exactly the same thing. And that is a baby. Women in Scripture pray for a child. Men in Scripture pray for everything under the sun. Victory in battle and to be anointed king, and on and on and on. But Sarah, Rachel, Elizabeth in the New Testament, all are praying for the same thing. They're all praying for what Hannah's praying for in 1 Samuel 1. They're praying to have a child. This morning, I want us to think about Hannah's prayer, and I want us to talk about what it teaches us about persistence in prayer, about praying for material needs. A child is not material like praying for a car, but it's not the same as praying for the forgiveness of sins, a spiritual thing. And mostly, I want to talk about why God says no when we pray. Because we'll read Hannah's prayer, but it is clear, this is not the first time that Hannah's ever talked to God about her desire to have a child. Why? The very first time Hannah ever said, "I am ready to have a baby." Didn't God? Baby, gotcha. And that's an important question. Because you've prayed and I've prayed, and sometimes God answers that prayer very immediately and very directly. Yes. Woohoo. We love that. And what do we say about that? Prayer works. People post that. Prayer works. But sometimes we pray and God says no. Or God says wait. God doesn't say anything. It just doesn't happen. What do we say about that? Prayer didn't work? Going to say that? Oh, God let me down? Don't feel good posting that on Facebook. But even if we don't post it, do we think it? Hannah's prayer helps us to work through what is really one of the big questions about prayer. Why does God say no? So there's much for us to work with this morning. I hope you have your Bible open to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we'll talk about Hannah's prayer. And we'll begin that. How else can you begin a class in prayer? We should begin that by praying. Would you pray with me, please? Oh, Lord our God, we're thankful for your word, and we ask that you'd bless us this morning. Help us to better understand this amazing gift of prayer, this blessing of being able to talk to you. Help us to better understand that by watching your servant Hannah in her praying. Help us, Father, to trust you more and to want to talk to you more. It's in Christ that we pray. And amen. So we are in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I guess I should say this as well. If you are wondering, you know, does this fit the criteria of great prayers of the Bible? The answer to that is probably no. 1 Samuel chapter 1 is some really good praying. The great prayer is in chapter 2. When she gets Samuel, she prays this amazing prayer of thanksgiving. That's the great prayer. And the reason I know that's a great prayer is because Mary prays Hannah's prayer when she is great with child with Jesus. So anytime you get quoted by Mary, yeah, that bumps you up a whole level. You're in the overall prayer tournament. Yeah, that raises your seed rating right there. So pay attention to Hannah's prayer, because other people in the Bible, like Mary, certainly did. All right? Let's see if we can read a little bit of this. I would remind you that the focus this morning is on prayer. And as I read this, someone is going to have... I want to ask a question about... And what I'm going to say is, that's outside the scope of this class, because I want us to focus on the prayer part. Okay? There was a certain man, verse 1, of Ramathaim Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim. His name was Elkanah. Verse 2, he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Penaniah. Penaniah had children. Hannah had no children. So this is the time of the judges. And this description is very much like the description of Samson. This is a wild time in Israel's history. And there is a ton of wicked things happening during this time. You should know, verse 2, that barrenness was the worst thing that could happen to a woman. It was seen as a curse of God. Something is wrong with you spiritually, or you would have kids. Women today who are, I guess barren is not the word, who are struggling with fertility and all the things that go with that, they endure a legion of inappropriate and heartless comments. When are you going to have that baby? And it's so cruel and so hard. But at least women who don't have children aren't poked in the chest by somebody at church saying, you must be a terrible sinner or you'd have a baby. At least I don't know anybody who... Somebody somewhere has probably said that. But that would be said to Hannah. That would be the implications. You aren't right with God. Or you'd be popping out kids. Look at Peninnah. She is. So the man would go, verse 3, year to year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. They are, by the way, wicked. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, although the Lord had closed her womb. You have a marginal note there. The Hebrew there is uncertain and difficult. Her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. Go, Hannah, you're just not very spiritual. God is getting you. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. So Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? The technical term for verse 8 is insensitive clod. Elkanah, you're not better than 10 sons. You're my husband, and I love you, but I want to have a baby. Gentlemen, pay attention to verse 8. This is not a class in marriage, it's a class in prayer. Don't be an insensitive clod and provoke your wife to sadness. So they ate and drank in Shiloh. And Eli the priest was sitting on his seat beside the doorpost of the temple. And she was deeply distressed. And she prayed to the Lord. And she wept bitterly. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me, and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And no razor shall touch his head. Almost without question, she is dedicating him to be what was known as a Nazarite. They were special servants of God. They had special rules. Can't cut your hair. Can't drink wine, eat grapes, eat raisins, some other things. They were specially dedicated to the Lord. It is a huge vow. She wants a child so much. But she says, if I can get a boy, I will give him to you here at the tabernacle. But that's crazy because there was wickedness going on at the tabernacle. So it's a big vow. It's a big vow. Eli's sons are crazy sinners. You would not want your child to grow up at the tabernacle. But she says, I will do that because I need this so much in my life. So she continued praying before the Lord, verse 12. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. And Eli took her to be a drunken woman. Does that tell you what tabernacle life was like? People came down there and got drunk. Eli had seen that before. What is going on, okay? Eli said, how long you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. This is not a great text for guys, is it? That's called being an insensitive clod. Thank you, Eli. You've joined Elkanah. Hannah said, no, my Lord. I'm a woman troubled in spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I've been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. And Eli answered and said, go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made unto him. She said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. And the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose in the morning, and they worshiped. Verse 19, Elkanah knew Hannah, and the Lord remembered him. And in due time, she conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel. She said, I have asked for him from the Lord. This is the first time that a woman's prayer is recorded in Scripture. So this would be a great time for us gentlemen to be quiet and for you ladies to tell us what you see in Hannah's prayer. Why is this the first recorded prayer? Other women have prayed for a baby. But Hannah's prayer gets lots of ink. Ladies, what do you see in Hannah's prayer? What struck you as we read that this morning? Chloe? Oh, I appreciate that very much. So Chloe says she's very vulnerable. She's emotional in her praying. She's pouring out her heart. She gets judged harshly for that. Thanks a lot, Eli. But she doesn't let that stop her. She still is making her petition before the Lord. That's really good. Women can be sometimes more emotional than men. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. God did not strike her dead for her emotional praying. Miss Becca?
One of the things about being in a situation when you want a child
That's really helpful. When you can't have a child, you feel powerless. And that is true even today with the incredible technology and medical abilities. And a lot of people are able to have children who before were not. But of course, Hannah doesn't know anything about chromosomes and sperm count and all of, she didn't know anything about that. It might be Elkanah's fault. But nobody knows any of that stuff. Okay? So even today, women who can't bear a child feel incredibly powerless, even with all the help we're trying to power them up. Hannah must have felt super powerless here. That's really helpful here. If you feel powerless, this is your prayer. Melinda? Oh, that's so good. For those of you who are streaming at home, what Melinda says is it shows that God cares about what we care about. And we can pray for big things like world peace or the church and our elders, those kind of things. And that's good. We should pray about that. But you can also bring what's dominating your life to God. And God does not say, that is utterly unimportant. Stop with that. You don't need a baby. Move on, lady. Elkanah, he says that, but God doesn't say that. Bree? So this is so significant in Hannah's life. Even though she's getting so much static from her sister wife, I can't talk about it, okay? And then she gets static from the guy who's supposed to be running the tabernacle. What Hannah ought to say is, what's the deal with your boys? Why are you jumping on me? Your sons seduce women like me when they come down here. In fact, the expression, verse 16, don't regard me as a worthless woman. In chapter 2, Eli's sons are said to be worthless men. Chapter 2, verse 12. So she's just getting static from everybody, but she just perseveres on. She trusts God. She's doing business with God. She's talking to God. She's not letting the haters run that out and keep her from that. Ladies, I will speak for those of us who are the male persuasion. Sometimes we are insensitive clods. We don't get it. And sometimes we act jerky. And you need to help us and we want to do better and all those kind of things and so forth. But don't let that get in the way of your relationship with the Lord. Don't let that get in the way of your relationship with God. Be like Hannah. Keep going with that. So let me ask you this. Is she making a deal with God? Is she cutting a deal with the Lord? Is that what's going on here? Verse, where am I? 11. If this, then this. Are we making deals, Julie? Oh, that's who are serving themselves. So her, what Julie says is, Julie noticed, and I did not know this, ladies, you all need to talk more in Bible class. Everything the women have said has been so good today. How often she refers to herself as a servant. Her prayer flows out of that identity. I'm trying to serve God. And so giving Samuel as a servant, I'm serving, he'll serve. Just seems to be part and parcel of that. Sister Quayar? Okay, I think that's really good. So Leah and Rachel get in this baby race, and it's not about serving God. It's about me one-upping my sister wife and getting the husband. And it's crazy. That whole scene is a disaster. Jacob is a mess. This is about serving the Lord. And Samuel goes on to be one of the most significant figures in Scripture. He is the kingmaker. He anoints Saul, and then he anoints David. He advises Saul. He's incredibly important. And all of that flows out of a servant. I love that. Lori? Well, I'm liking that. Okay, so class is all done. That comment, just that'll do it, okay? So what Lori says is, it kind of sounds like a deal, but maybe God needs Hannah to get to this point because God has a plan for Samuel. And if Samuel's home with Hannah, Samuel isn't going to be Samuel. And so one of the reasons God might be saying no is because Hannah needs to develop to the place where she can give up her son to the Lord. Now, I should say this about making a vow. In the Bible, there's a ton of that. And we kind of rain on that. Like, okay? But in the Psalms, there's really two kinds of Psalms. There's Psalms of lament, which is, God, I'm in so much trouble, I need your help. And then there's Psalms of Thanksgiving, which is, thanks for helping me. And in the laments, very often, there will be a vow. God, if you'll bail me out of this, I will go to the temple and sing your praises. Guess what those songs of Thanksgiving are? They're the payoff. I told God, if you bail me out, I'll sing your praises. Here it is. Singing your praises, God. There's a ton of that. In the Psalms, in Scripture. Not all of it's great. Ask Jephthah's daughter. Yikes. Okay? I would say this about the vow thing. We just need to be careful about that. You can't unilaterally impose on God, if my aunt gets better, I'll start going to church. And then your aunt doesn't get better. And so you say, well, I'm not going to go to church. We need to be very careful about that. And we need to be, because God didn't agree to the deal. Okay? I'd be really put off if you showed up and said, well, I thought you were going to mow my grass yesterday. What? Yeah, I prayed that you would mow my grass and made a vow that if you'd mow my grass, I'd come to church. And so I've been coming to church. When are you going to mow my? I'm like, hey, I didn't agree to that. And so the vow here of Hannah is her offering God her son. But I think she's aware God hasn't necessarily signed the contract. And we just need to be careful about that. The other thing that I would say is that most of the vowing in Scripture has to do with a higher level of spiritual service and devotion to God. It's not a tit for tat. You know, if you'll give me this, I'll give you that. You know, I'll give more money. We just need to be careful about it. And Ecclesiastes, by the way, is very specific in Ecclesiastes 5. That if you make a vow to God, you better pony up. Don't tell God, I'll do this and this. If you do this and this, and then it happens, and you're like, oh, you know, it was just good luck. If you vow, you better pay. And Hannah does. She gives Samuel to the Lord. It's incredible. It's just absolutely incredible. She's an amazing woman. She's an amazing woman. She gets two chapters of the Bible. Like I said, Mary quotes her. So if you're looking for a model, Hannah's on it, okay? By the way, check the end of the prayer, verse 18. The woman went away, and she ate, and her face was no longer sad. She gave that to the Lord, and then she didn't take it back and carry it home. She went home, she said, I trust God. This is going to happen. I think God, give it to the Lord. God's got this. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Hilda? Okay, Hilda, there's great power in praying together, and I'm all about it. But Eli's such a worthless, terrible individual that if Eli said to me, hey, I'll pray about that too, I'd be like, no, it's okay. Yeah, you know, really, you do your thing. He's awful. He's so bad that the little boy Samuel goes and lives in the tabernacle, and in the middle of the night, God calls Samuel. We tell that story back there in those classes. And finally Eli says, hey, God's talking to you. And the next time God calls Samuel, you just say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. That's the end of the story. We don't tell the rest of the story. You know what God tells Samuel? Go tell Eli, I am so hacked off at him. His sons are going to die in battle. He's going to die. His family's going to be cut off. He's horrible. And his whole family won't be priests anymore. Yeah, that's the rest of the story. And Samuel, by the way, is a faithful servant and goes and tells Eli that. And Eli doesn't seem to change. Eli, be like Hannah. Don't be like Eli. So I appreciate your point, but Eli gets no credit here. Mary Carson? So what Mary says is so strong. We've got to be in verse 18. We've got to give it to the Lord and then trust in the Lord. And in some things that's easier to do. When you ask God for the forgiveness of your sins, I don't walk out of that prayer thinking, boy, I wonder. No, because we have the specific promises of God. But if you ask God for a baby, where in the Bible did God say you'll get a baby? Don't know. Don't know. You may not. So it's harder, isn't it? And that leads to persisting in prayer. I don't think this is the first time that Hannah's ever prayed. Persisting in prayer is important because it shows God that that's so strong in our heart and how important that is to us. And if it's important to us, it's important to God. But we have to trust. I love what you said there at the end. We have to trust that God knows what's best. You know what was best, as Lori pointed out, you know what was best for Hannah? What was best for Hannah was to wait to have a baby till she could get to the place where she would say to the Lord, I'll give you Samuel. I give you to him. And so God waited until she was ready to make even that kind of great sacrifice. Joseph, you think Joseph isn't praying in Egypt? I want to go home. Joseph needed to wait so that he could do all the great things that he did there. Moses, 40 years in the wilderness. You think Moses isn't praying? Moses is praying. David, praying about that baby. 7 days of praying, baby dies. God says no. We have to trust that God knows what he's doing, even when we don't. And that I can be satisfied in God either way. Somebody here? No? Yes? In this? Okay. Let me go Lori here. Lori? So I appreciate that very much. I think persistence does matter because Jesus says so. In Luke 18, Jesus tells the parable that we ought to always pray and not lose heart. In Luke 11, Jesus tells another parable about persisting in prayer. The difficulty of persisting in prayer is that if we're not careful, can come off, I'm just going to pester God until he gives in. And I'm going to use the father-child relationship. All of us have been at the store, and your kid just wears you down. They want a toy. They want a candy bar. Sometimes husbands wear their wives down. And finally she says, okay, we can have a Snicker bar. Okay, don't view persistence in that way. I'm just going to wear God out until finally he reluctantly says, can you stop? Okay. We want to use persistence as a way of saying, this is heavy on our heart. This matters to me so much. That's where persistence comes in. Not, I'm going to beat the door of heaven down and finally. If you knock long enough, it comes off the hinges. You can barge in and say, where's my blessing? That isn't how... We don't want to operate in that kind of fashion because that's not how prayer works. If you need something from your husband, if you need something from your wife, you don't beat on it long enough until finally they reluctantly give in. That is a fail. That's Elkanah. Don't Elkanah, okay? Judy Burns, what do you think about this? Judy, you got to speak up. I think so. I think the delay here has to do with him needing Samuel. I at least as best I can certainly tell. Okay? Let me, right up here against the bell. First of all, that's a great prayer, isn't it? And we didn't touch the hem of the garment. We didn't touch the hem of the garment here. Lots to think about there. Let me give you a couple of applications here out of that. What Melinda said, I think, is so powerful. If it is important to you, it is important to God. That is amazing. I'm just amazed at that. God's running the universe. How big are our concerns? They're really big because they're our concerns and God loves us and cares about us. Then secondly, we want to be careful not to charge God foolishly when God doesn't do to suit us. And Hannah does not rail at God. You've let me down. Okay? Then thirdly, persisting in prayer is important, but not because we think we can beat down the door of heaven. And then finally, what Mary Carson said, we want to trust that God knows best. We want to trust that God knows best. Okay, let me give you a quick heads up. Next Sunday is New Year's Day, and I'm going to step out of praying for a minute, and I'm going to talk about Bible reading, okay? Daily Bible reading. And I'm going to need you to bring your tips and tricks. What do you do that helps you stay with it? Or you could even say, this is what trips me up. I need you to come ready to help everybody else do better in daily Bible reading in 2023. Going to be you. Boy, ladies, y'all killed it today. Guys, you better bring your tips and tricks next week. You gotta keep up with these ladies, okay? So bring your Bible reading stuff. Questions about daily Bible reading, ways to stay in daily Bible reading, what's working, what's not working. We'll talk daily Bible reading, then we'll do more prayers further on in January. Sisters in Christ, thanks so much for such good thoughts this morning. Class, we're dismissed. Parents, you better go grab a kid. There's a whole bunch of them waiting for you in the foyer.